Hi everyone.
Hello.
I'm Nat. I've been asked to speak tonight. And I want to start off by assuming that everyone here knows the song by, can't lean on this, by Elton John, Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Do you have to sing it?
No. And I'm not going to sing it to you. But I want to ask you that same question, but not about romantic love, about God's love. And I want to look at the writing of someone else called John to see what it actually means when we talk about God loving us. So if you've got a Bible, can you turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 to 12? If you haven't, it's up on the board. Well done, Katie. And we'll read from that, and then we'll just break it down and see what John is saying. And this is John the Apostle, one of the 12 disciples, and he's writing to churches throughout probably modern-day Turkey. And he says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." So if we break that down, John first says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he's saying here that God makes the first move in his love. God doesn't wait for us to come and say, God, I love you, will you love me back? God loves us from the very start. And even more than that, this love doesn't depend on who we are. This is just love for each of us individually, just because God loves us. Which is coming, as I've said, from the disciple John, who was by no means a perfect person. This was a guy who was a fisherman, wasn't anyone important, and probably had quite a temper on him. He and his brother James, who were disciples of Jesus, were called the Sons of Thunder, probably for that reason. And at one point in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus has just been rejected from a Samaritan village, they go to Jesus and they say, "Hey, shall we call down fire from heaven and destroy this village because they didn't like you?" And Jesus turns around and says, "No, you can't," because Jesus doesn't like doing that. But we see that John is not perfect. And I think John knew that he was very imperfect and didn't really deserve to be loved as he was. But later on, when he's writing his Gospels and when he's writing his letters, he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved, which is quite a transformation. And it's amazing that someone like him can be transformed by God's love. And it's amazing that each of us, that you and me, can be transformed by that same love. And it doesn't depend on us being good. It doesn't depend on us saying the right prayers or thinking the right things or going to the right services. God loves us from the start. Thank you. And then John says, he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And this shows us that God's love is not something that's fickle and insincere. God doesn't look at us and think, "Yeah, you're all right. I kind of like you. You'll do." God looks at us and he loves each one of us completely. So much so that he sacrifices his own Son to atone, which means to pay for our sins, so that we can have our relationship with Jesus restored. So God doesn't just look at us and think you're okay. He looks at you and thinks, "I love you so much that I want to send my Son to die so that I can know you better and so that you can know me better," which is extraordinary. And it blows me away how much God loves me. And I hope it blows you away how much God loves each of you. And then finally, John says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." So John's saying, if God loves you and he loves everyone else, then you should love everyone else as well, whoever they are. Because if you are a believer, and he's writing to believers here, if you are a believer in God's love and you want to really live like Jesus, then that means you have to learn to love as God loves you and as God loves everyone else. So, and that's how we make God's love complete, is by sharing it. We don't take God's love and keep it inside and think, that's awesome, I'm so happy that God loves me. We have to take that love and give it to everyone else. I have to accept that God loves me, and that's amazing, but I have to take it to Brian and to Ian and to Pete and to Lydia and to Sam and to my dad, and I have to love, he definitely needs it, I have to love all of these people in the same way that God loves them, which isn't easy, but that's what John says we should do. So just to run through that, John says this is love. God loved you because he loved you, and that love was so great he sent Jesus to die. And now you, if you believe this, have got to start loving God, which I think is an amazing message, and I think it's awesome that we can trust in this love. But what does that actually mean for us today? Because you can sit here and listen to me and think, that's really nice, so what? And I want to focus on three things. There's lots of things you can draw from this, but I want to focus on three of them. The first of which is that if you cannot feel the love tonight, if you do not know the love of God, then I want to encourage you to ask God to show you how much he loves you. And this is not just for people who wouldn't call themselves a Christian, but sometimes you can be in that place where you go to all the services and you say all the prayers and you know the songs, but actually you don't know it truly in your heart and you don't know God's love. And it is honestly the best thing that will ever happen to you, is feeling how much God loves you. And so honestly, just ask him to show you how much he loves you, or talk to someone here, like there are people here who will guide you in that, because it's amazing. It is amazing love. The second thing is, if you want to believe this, but you can't accept it because you don't think that God could love you, which happens because we look at ourselves and we look at all the things that we do and the things that we think, and we think, there's no way that God could love me. But actually, that's the devil talking to us. It's not God. And the Bible actually calls the devil the accuser, because that's the game he plays, is he picks up on our sins and he says, remember you did that. Remember you did this to that person. And even though God doesn't care, because God's forgiven it and it's in the past, the devil takes it and he toys with us and makes us think that we don't deserve this love. But actually, if we look at the people in the Bible, if we look, as I've said, at James and John, if we look at Paul, who persecuted the church and was putting people in prison and beating them and approving of them being killed for believing in Jesus, but then was transformed by this love. If people like this can be loved by God, then how much more can we? If God can forget their sins, he can forget ours just as well. So if you're in that place where you can't quite accept that Jesus could love you, then again, ask God to help you in your unbelief, because he really does. He really does love you, and he really doesn't care about what you've done. And finally, if you are in a position where what I've been saying has resonated with you, and you've thought, yes, I know this, and I feel this in my heart, then I have nothing more really to say except what John said, that you have to start loving other people, which I think as a church we're quite good at, but everyone can love more. And in our church family, we can always love people more, because sometimes it's easy to look around the church sometimes and to be quite judgmental and to think things like, I wouldn't wear that on a Sunday, or I wouldn't say that on a Sunday, or to look at someone in church and think, they don't pray very much, do they? They can't be a very good Christian. Or even to say, they pray too much, they're just showing off, they can't be a good Christian. But actually, that just gets in the way of loving people, and that we focus on ourselves and on other people's imperfections instead of loving and instead of serving each other. And that's a problem, and it's something that we need to work through and to talk to God about and to get over. And it's the same in our families, with our friends and co-workers and people at school. Wherever you are, there's going to be people that are easy to love and there's going to be people that are hard to love. I'm not gesturing to the two sides of the room there. But it's something that you have to make a conscious choice to love people. And that's why John has to say it. Because if it were easy, it wouldn't be a problem and he wouldn't say it. But it's not easy. But it's something we have to work on and need to talk to God about. So that's what I want to say. I think if you're in one of those three groups, then talk to God and talk to people here. And let's live lives that are full of love. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the love that you have for us, each and every one of us individually. I thank you that you poured out your love for us and that you sent your son to die for us. And I thank you that we can have faith in your unfailing love. And I pray tonight that you would meet with us and that by the power of your Spirit you would show us just how much you love us and you would help us as we go leaving this place, as we go into our day-to-day lives, that you would help us to love one another as you love us. Amen. Thank you.